Welcome to our discussion of Rosh Hashanah, Three Tiers. If we look at the story of Rosh Hashanah, prayer book, the Haftorot, readings from the prophets, it turns out that there are three women, particularly, who we encounter crying around Rosh Hashanah. Number one, we find in the Torah reading that Hagar had a very tragic situation. She was cast out of the house by Sarah. Abraham executed the plan. She had little water. She's beginning to starve in the desert. Suddenly, she cast the child aside, Vatisat kol avatevk. She lifted out her voice and she cried. Hagar is the first one who cries. Now we can look at it one of two ways. One is that she sat by the side and she gave up. She gave up on her son. Another way to look at it is that she's there. She's crying. She's hoping. She's praying. And indeed, salvation comes. Turns out, that God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. Turns out that her salvation was right there, but she shouldn't have given up hope. That's Hagar. In some ways, she's blind to the salvation which lurks beneath the surface. Then you have the mother of Sisra. The rabbis say, and Tosfot mentions, why do we blow 100 sounds, 30 sounds before the Amidah, before Musaf, 30 sounds during Musaf, 30, some have 30 during the silence of ocean, as we do at the Anshei Sfarad Bethel Emeth congregation here in Memphis, Nesach Sfarad. Some have 40 sounds at the end. We only need 10 more during the Kaddish at the end. Now, 100 years. Why 100 years? Because the mother of Sisra, Sisra was the enemy general of the kingdom of Hatzor, the kingdom based in the north that was oppressing the Jews at the time of Devorah and Barak, the beginning of the book of Judges, Shoftim. And his mother, the general's mother, Sisra's mother, she looked out the window. She cried, why are his chariot's wheels late? Why is he so late? What's going on? And she comforts herself and her neighbors comfort her. And they say, well, maybe he's out there, exploiting the women there. So, you know, don't worry. He'll be back soon. They didn't have very good morals, to say the least. Maybe he's bringing some spoils of war for his mom. Beautiful embroidered things, beautiful colored clothing. And she looks out the window and she continues to look and she cries. She cries and those tears become the model for how we should blow the shofar, whether you're wailing, weeping, moaning, groaning. Those are the tears of the shofar, perhaps set up to counter the tears of this mother. Yes, sometimes the enemy sheds tears. We feel bad about that. But we too have tears. We too have prayers. The Jews have tears and prayers too. We have our reasons that we have to cry, and we counter the tears of the enemy with our own tears. But what kind of tears were these? These were tears of denial. She knows he's late. She knows he's not coming home, but they're trying to comfort themselves in a false kind of way. They don't want to come to terms with reality. It's Hagar had tears that were blind to the salvation which was right there beneath the surface. See, the mother of Sisra has tears of denial. We feel bad for the mother of Sisra. We feel bad for Hagar. But nonetheless, these tears don't really contain within them, a real sense of hope. And then we have Rachel. Rachel is also crying for her children, but me'anali inachem. She will not be comforted. Rashi tells us in the story of Jacob that when a person refuses to be comforted for their mourning, as Jacob, her husband, was, that means that he's not giving up. She continues to cry. She will not give up. Matter of fact, Rashi tells us in Parshat Vayechi that she's there, le'ezra levanesh, she's there to help her children. The crying is not to give up on her children. She's there to help her children when they'll pass through. They'll pass by on their way to exile, on their way to Babylonia. She will cry and God will answer and say, v'shavu banim levulam. God will promise her, yes, the children will return to the land. And those words of God, the words of Jeremiah, they will comfort her. Rachel mevaka al banah. Those tears ultimately are tears of consolation. She continues, yesh tikva, her tears bring a response from God, which says, no, there is hope for the Jewish people. She's crying because there's hope. You stop mourning after a while when you say, there's no point in this. This is counterproductive. I got to move on with life. But you don't stop crying when you know there is hope and you know something will change. It's not a death. The Jewish people's exile was not a death. It was temporary. It was thousands of years, but it's temporary. And it's with the Jews, v'shavu v'anim l'gvulam, God says in the words of Jeremiah that the children will return to their home. She's there to bring them hope. So we have three types of tears. Tears of blindness, where we're blind to the salvation. Why are we crying? The salvation is right there. The water, the well is right there. Open your eyes. Shouldn't be crying. Should have more hope. Tears of denial. Tears where we're not ready to come to terms with our own faults and failures in life. Sometimes tears of blindness where we're blind to our own failings and what really is wrong with our lives that we could fix. It's right there for the fixing, but we don't do it. And finally, there are tears of hope. We cry out on Rosh Hashanah. It's not in despair. It's not in a sense of depression. We cry out on Rosh Hashanah because we're hoping Yitakav Shofar Gadol. We're hoping for that great shofar that will drown out all of our tears and bring us great hope. Yesh Tikva, there is hope. There's the tears, not so much of the mother of Sisra. These are our tears. And the Jewish tears are the tears of Rachel. And Rachel is told, Yesh Tikva, there is hope. But of course, there's a fourth type of tear, like the fifth son at the Seder who's not there. There's a fourth type of tear. And the Kotzker Rebbe always had what to say. He said, the worst tears are those not shed at all. There are tears that we can't shed. Isn't it true that in the modern sanitized synagogue, so beautiful, so plush, we sometimes fail to do that which every basic grandmother and grandfather in years ago, just not too long ago, would cry. They'd cry for their children, they'd cry for the situation. What happened to those tears? Where are the tears? When there are tears, there can be hope. There can be an answer from God. V'shavu v'anim l'gvulam. We've forgotten to cry for Israel, to cry for the situation this past summer, to cry for the worries of the people of the north in Israel. If we can't cry for ourselves and the better people that we could be, that's the worst kind of tears, the tears we don't even shed. Are we going to cry this Rosh Hashanah? Are we going to really care? Are we going to get that deep that we shed some tears? Or are we're not worthy even of Hagar or even of the mother of Sisra. We're just not even going to get that deep. We're just going to leave it on the surface. Yeah, beat the chest a few times and say a few hail sitters and move on. We've got to get deeper than that. We've got to reach down to that place of tears, a place of deep hurt. We've got to cry, but not out of self, of desperation, not out of sense of lack of hope, but rather on the contrary, tears of prayer, tears that say, God, listen to these tears, make it better. Give us tikva, give us shavu vanim l'gvulam, give us hope, and give us those words that you promised us, shavu vanim l'gvulam, that our children will return to the land of Israel. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sfarad Beth Lemeth congregation here in Memphis, Tennessee. Join us each week for our discussion of the Parsha, the various holidays, and thanks for listening. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you. Shana Tova.